It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The state agriculture department awards grants to get more locally grown food into schools. We explore how this program aims to strengthen a statewide farm to school network. And we go around the state to learn how these grants will benefit youth. Call in with a question. You can share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Amy Minen is statewide partnerships lead at Health Tide. That's an organization focused on healthy eating and physical activity. It's a partner to the grant recipient Kids Forward that advocates for children and families of color. Amy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate.
So the Wisconsin Farm to School Grant Program awards Kids Forward a $40,000 grant. Can you help us understand how the organization serves youth across the state?
Yeah, so we're really excited. Health Tide, which is a statewide network, is partnering with Kids Forward as the two organizations supporting the application. We're not doing this work alone, though, Kate. We are going to be partnering with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services Chronic Disease Prevention Unit, a statewide partnership called Healthy Early that really focuses on 0 to 12 in terms of youth and their health. And we're also going to be focusing with an organization in Milwaukee called Proveedores Unidas and one tribal nation, Lakota Oreyes.
How will this grant be used? How what will it do?
This particular grant that we received from the State Department of Agriculture is really going to focus on farm to early care, which is a strategy to bring local and regional foods into childcare settings. So we're really excited to receive these funds because it's going to allow for statewide coordination of farm to early care strategies, as well as some pilots in three Milwaukee sites, and again, with one of our tribal nations. So we're really excited.
This month, Kids Forward and the network Health Tide published this report examining how kids talk about healthy food and what they know about nutrition. What do Wisconsin kids consider to be healthy food?
That's a really good question, Kate. The report, this was a series of youth focus groups that were held in with about 30 middle and high school students, specifically Latino, Black, and Asian students in Milwaukee, Appleton, Stevens Point communities. And what we know is that youth have a lot to say about the foods that they're being served. Mm. We know that there's not enough time to eat. The lunch periods are too short. And they talked a lot about in these conversations, youth expressed the need to improve school lunch preparation, the taste of those foods, and the appearance. We also know youth talked about just the lack of availability of diverse and culturally appropriate meals.
And in terms of, the food that is served, one participant said that stuck out to me that they genuinely eat fruit all the time, but never at school because it's not actually good and it does expire. Even when we do get pears, they said they're all deformed pears. What should we note about the quality of the food that is served?
I think that's a complex question, Kate. We know that there are many different school districts across the state with really hardworking school food professionals. We know that on one side of this issue, there is a shortage of school food professionals. We know, for example, Milwaukee is short something like 150 positions.
Wow.
And so that's, sort of the labor side of this needs attention. We also know that local and regional foods is a way to address some of these issues of taste and convenience and appearance, and really thinking about, how to improve access to those foods is what, a lot of these, this grant from the State Department of Agriculture is hoping to do. One thing that I think is happening is there are some really important conversations happening with youth, and it's really important that we engage them in these conversations. Specific to this report, there is a healthy school meals group in Milwaukee that has formed that is using this information to support parents and youth advocating and working with the school to improve school meals and the quality of them.
talking with Amy Minen of the State Network. Health Tide represents the grant recipient Kids Forward as we talk about the Wisconsin Farm to School grant program. Call in questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Amy, what is the significance to you of these one-time grants from the Agriculture Department? Why are they important? What could they change?
These grants are really critical. It's exciting to see the investment in local and regional foods coming from our State Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection, also coming from USDA. There's been a number of local and regional food system-related grants that our state has been applying for and has been awarded. These are critical if we're hoping to increase the amount of local and regional foods that can, you know, show up in our schools, our childcare centers, even, you know, our hospital and healthcare systems in terms of farm to hospital strategies or farm to institution. It really requires supply and demand that we need to be thinking about, you know, the infrastructure and distribution networks that need to be in place for local and regional foods to move into these spaces. And we also need to think about the demand. You know, how do we engage youth? How do we engage parents? How do we engage consumers in terms of eating and consuming local and regional foods and increasing the demand for them?
Yeah, I mean, that local food for a kid sitting at a lunch table could be a world away if they've never been in that field or if they've never met the farmer behind what they're eating. And I think it's important that you point out that there are some disconnects in this pipeline of locally harvested food to getting into local schools. Why is that so hard?
That's a great question, Kate. And it's very interesting because we have, you know, large urban school districts like Madison and Milwaukee who have more centralized kitchens where they're, you know, they've moved to preparing the foods in one location and then it gets distributed out to all the schools in the district. And then we have smaller districts who have more of a capability to do more of the, with, you know, scratch cooking, if you will, because they have more of a decentralized model. It really depends on the district, their resources, do they have equipment? A lot of our schools over the last few decades have just not, they don't have the kitchen equipment needed to cook from scratch or to take whole
meals.
Product.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're warming up meals.
Let's go to Mary Kay in Kenosha. Mary Kay, hello.
Hi, I worked in the lunch program, okay? Now, what I've seen is there's no school gardens, there's no bids for the food, there's no local farms connected to school lunches, there's no home cooking. They're more, you know, connected to how much spray we could spray in the kitchen and stuff like that than they are worried about the food that the children are eating.
Mary Kay, thank you for that first-person perspective. And Amy, it sounds like a grant like this would really kind of help to rectify some of those disconnects?
Yeah, this funding is critical to help school districts and child care centers really pilot and figure out how this is going to work, how they can reach out to local producers, how to make those types of connections. Yeah, that's the rationale behind the funding.
Amy, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Kate.
Amy Minen, statewide partnerships lead of Health Tide, which works with Kids Forward. That's a statewide anti-racist policy organization advocating for children and families of color. There's more conversation ahead on farm to school initiatives and how to get youth involved in fresh produce. Be part of the discussion. Call in with a question, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We hear from organizations that landed grants through the State Agriculture Department's Farm to School program, launching initiatives aimed at helping schools get access to local foods. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ryan Laswell is Executive Director of Nourish Farms. That's based in Sheboygan County. Ryan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. So how will this funding expand Farm to School in Sheboygan County? What will it do?
Yeah, so in Sheboygan County, Nourish has been offering Farm to School programs for several years now, and we've had a dramatic increase in the demand for programs from three-year-olds and in pre-K programs up through high school students and beyond. And so this will allow us to get into new schools, new classrooms, work with teachers who've been waiting for this and wanting for it and just struggling to get started.
What do you do when you enter a classroom? What are these programs like?
Yeah, so our Good Food Club program starts with getting kids excited about food. So sometimes that means that they are eating food and they're enjoying the way that things taste. We try and make sure that things are tasty first. And then, you know, they might get more excited about growing things. So they have some hands-on components. We try and tie it into STEAM-based education. So we may offer books or art or science or math topics in the classroom alongside the teachers as well.
And so over the years, how do you measure what is happening here in this realm of food literacy, as you call it?
Yeah, so we have a logic model, and we look at, you know, beginning of the program when we get in there. We look at, you know, what's the familiarity that kids have with seasonal foods? Can they identify things? Do they understand how to grow it, how to cook it? Do they understand the impact that it has on their health? Throughout the school year, depending on the school, we might be there weekly, we might be there monthly, we might be there only a couple times a year. They may also come out to our facility in Sheboygan Falls. And at the end of the school year, we look at things like, what are the kids' basic conversations that they can have? The teachers can share as well, because, you know, we really want to empower the teachers to continue this when we're not there as well. So we get a lot of great testimonials from teachers saying, hey, you know, I noticed that the students understood this better or engaged with this better or were more willing to try things or more familiar with stuff. Those are some of the responses that we want to see in kids. And it differs greatly between a three-year-old and an 18-year-old.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. But what kind of working knowledge do they have? I mean, do students typically have an understanding about nutrition before one of your lessons?
No. Schools are really... they got a lot on their plate with the requirements that they need to have. And lunch days are shorter and shorter. Health classes are shorter. Nutrition education is shorter or non-existent at all. And so a lot of times it's really interesting when we get in. And, you know, I've worked with kids for almost a decade in this area. There's not that big of a difference between a kindergartner and a senior in high school.
Wow.
The amount that they understand of, you know, what colors equate to what nutrients, what do these nutrients do in your body? Why is it important to have some? Are some essential or non-essential? And these are really foundational pieces to the future of our health. And when you have a senior in high school who doesn't have basic knowledge of how to nourish their body, it equates to a life of increased risk of disease.
What does it equate to in the school lunchroom when they're making choices there?
Yeah, so we were pretty fortunate to have a really wonderful board member at Nourish. Her name is Judy Smith, and she was the director of nutrition for the Sheboygan Area District, and she's been around to several other districts in the area. And she had shared with us, you know, at schools where kids are more familiar, they understand how to cook it, they understand how to eat it, they understand what it looks like and what it tastes like, they're more willing to try it. You know, familiarity equates to willingness to participate in that. So when we introduce, you know, 36 different foods in our Harvest of the Month program, these kids then see it in the lunch line, they see it in the salad bar, and they go, oh, I can try that. You know, that's a broccoli plant, and it tastes like this, and I'm okay eating that, versus, ooh, I have no idea what that is, and it's scary.
Harvest of the Month, you know, what do you, I would imagine that that is based on the cycle of what's coming out of the fields.
Yeah. You know, in 2017, Nourish was one of I think it was 32 USDA grant recipients to start working on some of these programs. And so we created a Harvest of the Month, which connected local seasonal foods that farmers in our region could produce with what we would serve in a three-year cycle for the schools, and say, hey, we're going to celebrate strawberries in June. We're going to celebrate, celery and whatever. And it created a system and a pattern that farmers could follow, school districts could follow, people could plan out for curriculum. There's Harvest of the Month all over the place. Now it's much more popular than it was before, but it's a really good system tool to get everyone engaged, because everyone does win. I mean, farmers win, schools win, kids win. It's a matter of building the relationships, building the connections, and getting people to see that this really, it is difficult and complex, but when you break it down step by step, it's really easy.
We're talking about the Wisconsin Farm to School Grant Program, the Farm to School Network at Work. And we're talking with grant recipient Ryan Laswell, Executive Director of Nourish Farms, that is in Sheboygan County. Call in questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Ryan, Nourish Farms, you said, visited hundreds of classrooms in Sheboygan County last year to talk with kids about its good food education programs. How do you define good food?
That's a great question. It's sort of a nebulous topic, beyond, but Nourish has our mission, vision, and our values. And we look at, is the food nutrient dense? Is it locally sourceable? Is it grown in a way that is quote unquote sustainable, which I won't get into all of that right now because that takes quite a bit of time. But that factors in things like how much does it cost? Is it locally sourced here? Is it available this time of year? We try and pick things that don't require a whole lot of inputs so that they can be used. I noticed the last individual mentioned that a lot of schools don't have tools or time or staff to do these things. So we're not picking foods that require a ton of processing in order to be utilized, like Brussels sprouts, for instance. Delicious, but they require a lot more work to serve than carrots. So we try and find things that work for all of us with the resources that we have in the beginning. So that's how we're working on good food in that way.
And your farm has a 13-acre campus for students to see where food comes from. What are some of those aha moments from this hands-on experience to get kids closer to their food?
There was a wonderful story that we had last year. We have a hoop house, so it's an unheated 1,800 square foot space that has plastic over the top so that, rain or shine, field trips can enjoy the gardens. And we had some spinach growing in there, and a little girl from the elementary school next door went in the hoop house, picked some spinach, went into our 1,500 square foot commercial kitchen that the kids can be in, and they prepared some spinach muffins that had bananas and different things. And there, people go, "Oh, spinach muffins? That sounds weird." But and I have a video of her saying this, and she said, "Normally I wouldn't eat this, but when I make it into things like this, it's delicious." And she devoured like three or four of these spinach muffins. And so, getting these kids to be able to grow it, and then go, "Wow, well, if I'm going to grow the radish or grow the spinach, I might as well give it a shot." They're so much more willing to try things when they are engaged in growing it, preparing it, and sharing it with their friends. I think the sharing it part is really funny. A lot of adults don't necessarily equate that, but when a kid is proud of something and shares it with their friends, they then go, "Oh, well, I have to eat this now too." And they usually end up enjoying it because we're guiding them through it. We might be helping them cook a stir fry, or we might be helping them. We have a little, free cookbook called Little Cook Read This Book, and it's basic little ways that kids and people can assemble foods that make it easy and enjoyable. And so I think a lot of those aha moments that you asked about is this kid going, "Whoa, I took this tiny seed, I grew something, it turned into something, now I can eat this." And that just happens all the time.
In this farm to school network, this pipeline that to bring the local farms closer to the schools, do you see these types of programs continuing to grow in the future?
Oh yeah, these are going to grow robustly. I mean, in the last couple of years, I would say, so I've been involved with Nourish since 2015. We went from serving a couple dozen schools to 650 classrooms now. Now, it's a lot of the same classrooms over and over. We might be in the same classroom nine times, But we have requests from other districts. We have field trips coming in. There's a lot of demand, and it really makes sense, right? You know, connecting the farmers and the resources we have in our community with the institutions who are trying to feed these kids and the kids who need this food. And it really just comes down to relationships. It comes down to mutual understanding of what everybody needs. And I think the more discussion it gets, the easier it becomes. And there's a lot of examples of wins and success. Mm. You know, you look at like a rural district, they might not have as much funding, but they also have a much simpler, you know, kitchen need. For instance, if you have four or five staff in a place like the Plymouth School District, you know, not that they have four or five, but, you know, if you have a smaller kitchen there, they can make a lot more nimble decisions, whereas if you have a bigger district like Sheboygan, 30, you know, 40 places, and it's harder.
Ryan, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Ryan Laswell, Executive Director of Nourish Farms in Sheboygan Falls. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. New farm-to-school activities are launching around the state with funding from the State Agriculture Department. The grants support projects that help schools and youth get access to locally grown produce. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jenny Shanks is the AmeriCorps farm-to-school specialist with the Hayward Community School District, and the district offers environmentally focused project-based learning through its Northern Waters Environmental School. Jenny, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Well, explain how Northern Waters plans to use this grant funding.
Yeah, so our grant project is titled Digging into Local Food Systems. And what this grant will mostly entail is interactive on-farm activities like soil sampling and lab-based activities where students will be able to identify the beneficial microorganisms present in those samples. And we'll be working with a couple different farmers in the region, which include Dale Goss of Grass-Fed Beef Farm in Bruce, Wisconsin, Chris Johnson of Johnson Family Pastures in Frederick, Wisconsin, and Adam Waberett of Soil Creek Cattle Company in Shell Lake. So students will be given the opportunity to conduct real-life science in a study that compares the microorganism counts in areas that were bale grazed versus areas that were rotationally grazed. So
this sounds like,
in a nutshell,
it sounds like this is geared for a bit older students.
Yeah, this will be with our 6th through 12th graders, so we can scale it down a little bit based on the age of the students and what they're learning. But what we really want to provide here is an opportunity for students to conduct real life science while also benefiting the farmers as well.
Would students otherwise be able to set foot on these farms without a grant like this or without a connection?
Probably not. That's another really unique part of this project. We've been working with Dale to do some nutrition lessons, but as for the other farmers, that's kind of a connection that he made for us. And these are pretty far away from Hayward too, so it's a kind of unique opportunity for us to go and visit several different farms that are doing similar things, but are just different based on the site and their farming and management goals.
Northern Waters, as is in the name, is an environmental school. What sets the school apart from other schools in the district?
So the unique thing about Northern Waters is it's a public project-based charter school. So what makes Northern Waters so unique and sets us apart from other schools in the district is our small size and our collaborative approach to education. So we have 42 students in one building from 6th through 12th grade, and it looks a lot different from the other schools because we engage in these things called independent learning projects where students get to develop a personalized learning plan that meets their needs, addresses their goals. Mm-hmm. And through those projects, they can really hone in and explore their interests while also covering all of the state standards and district benchmarks through those projects.
Are the students learning about food and nutrition, in anticipation of a project like this that takes them out into the field, literally, into a farmer's fields?
Yeah, through the AmeriCorps Farm to School program, the students have been engaging in several nutrition lessons and agricultural-based lessons throughout the school year. And Dale visited us to talk about his farm and talk about how his beef is different from beef that you get at the grocery store. So we're definitely setting them up to undergo a big project like this.
We're talking about the Wisconsin Farm to School grant program. Jenny Shanks is here, AmeriCorps Farm to School specialist with the Hayward Community School District. Call in questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Jim in Cambria is here. Jim, hi, what would you like to ask?
Nicole, I was just wondering, is there any funding in place to help these schools have a curriculum where they grow their food, learn to grow food on the campus so that the product they grow goes back into, feeding them in while they're at school? I mean, it just seems like a no-brainer to me, but...
Jim, thank you. Yes, and Jenny, is there that ability for students to grow their own food right at school?
Yes, there certainly is. So with the AmeriCorps Farm to School program, this is at the intermediate school, not at the Northern Waters Environmental School, but I've been working with FoodWise, and we were awarded a different grant this year to kind of reinvigorate our school garden space at the intermediate school. So we're really excited about that this year. We're going to be growing some food that hopefully will be used in local foods taste tests, just kind of used in lessons, but also used in our cafeteria for Harvest of the Month initiatives and even donated to the Hayward Community Food Shelf. So we're excited about that. And we have that going on at the intermediate school, but we also have several aeroponic grow towers within the district. So I've also been working with the sixth grade class in the Hayward Middle School with their towers. So we've had a whole lot of fun with that. We've made kale chips, did the taste test of that. We did little caprese skewers with aeroponic tower-grown tomatoes and basil. And even the excess from these lessons has been donated to the Hayward Middle School cafeteria, so students have had a chance to taste those foods themselves that have been grown just right in their building.
Oh, that's really fascinating. You know, maintaining a garden, though, it takes time, tending the garden, harvesting, weeding, and even during the summer months. How do you navigate those challenges?
Yeah, so that is honestly the most difficult part of farm to school is getting people to manage those garden spaces in the summer, and we're trying to proactively work towards mitigating those problems by establishing community partnerships. So with our intermediate school garden, we're going to be working with the Girl Scouts of the Hayward region who have offered to help with garden care and maintenance. And they'll also be having several beds of their own. So we have a community partnership there. Then we also be working with the Hayward Garden Club, and we hope to recruit some of the ladies from that club to help us with our summer months too. And it also just goes down to teachers lending a little hand in the summer as well. And we'll also be doing a summer school segment, which will be for the month of June. So we'll have that time. And then the last part that goes into that is tailoring the harvest around the school year. So we're going to be focusing more on those early season spring harvests like radishes, lettuce, spinach, that kind of thing. And then we'll be doing some more of the late season harvests such as the Three Sisters and things like kale, carrots. So tailoring that around the school year as best we can too.
And when you tailor it around the school year with radishes and lettuce and spinach, does that end up in the lunch line at all? Are school lunches affected here?
Yeah, so that's the goal. This is the first year that we're going to be reinvigorating the garden with a farm-to-school member and with the FoodWise funding. So that's going to be the goal of the project. But I guess for now, I don't really know if we'll be able to use that lettuce in the cafeteria this school year, but hopefully we can. So if we grow lettuce that's harvestable before the end of the school year, that will definitely be seen in the cafeteria.
As we wrap up here, what impression do you want students to have as they look at their food and their produce through these types of projects that you're facilitating?
So the whole goal of Farm to School is to get kids connected to the food they eat and really just encourage them to adopt healthy lifestyles from a super young age through gardening and through farmer engagements and nutrition education. So I'm really excited about this. I think that it's empowering for both kids and adults to grow something from seed and to see it into harvest. And it just gets kids more excited about eating vegetables if they have the ownership to grow it themselves.
Jenny, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This is so much fun. Excited to see what other schools are doing within the state.
Yes, Jenny Shanks is AmeriCorps Farm to School Specialist with the Hayward Community School District, and our tour of the Farm to School Network takes us to Madison with kitchen lessons through a Youth Black Excellence Program. And you can call in along the way. Questions, you can add your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Groups around the state receive grants that aim to help schools and youth access locally grown fruits and veggies. One grant recipient is MAD Local Food Group. Christy McKenzie is owner of Pasture and Plenty and behind this effort. The Madison-based company offers meal kit subscriptions, a farm-to-table deli, and freezer meals. Christy, welcome to the Ideas Network. So why did your business seek out this Agriculture Department grant?
Yeah, so Pasture and Plenty is a business that really focuses on connecting the community to local food in a variety of ways. We do that through our meal kit program. We do that in our restaurant and dining room, and we also do it through cooking classes. And during the pandemic, we launched a virtual cooking class program for youth in the community that's called the Youth Black Excellence Life Readiness and Cooking Class Program as a partnership with the Madison School District.
How did that go? What did you learn?
Well, you know, the one thing that we learned was that people love to get together around food. We launched it in June of 2020 when we were navigating the pandemic and the uprising that was felt after the murder of George Floyd, and really looking for ways to help the community connect in reparative ways around good food. And so we thought that the program would serve around 75 students and families at that point, and we consistently had a waiting list of more than 50 to 75 students for every class. So we grew the program to serve between 125 to 175 students per four-week session. We launched the sessions during the harvest season here in Wisconsin, one four-week session in June and another four-week session in October each year.
Wow. Okay. And so these cooking classes, though, are also run by Madison area Black chefs. For these teenagers, you know, what effect do chefs of color have on the learning, have on their connections?
Yeah, so it's really important for us to showcase Black leaders in the food system. And so that includes Black chefs, it includes Black food entrepreneurs, it includes individuals who, might have a career in another industry but are really passionate about food. So it's really important, I think, for students to see representation in their leadership, representation in educators who look like them. For us, it was also really important to think about how we show and share what different types of food-related career paths look like, whether it's a career path to horticulture, or it's a career path to chemistry, or it's a career path into professional culinary work, or into farming. So for us, the program is about sharing all about the diversity that is happening in our food system, everything it takes to get food from the field to the table, and also to really engage students in thinking about how they connect to different career paths across our foodways.
And I would imagine connect with each other, and the leaders of the cooking class. I wonder, is it now still a virtual component, or do you have them in person?
It is. The cooking classes continue to be virtual. And the reason for that is because we wanted to make sure that we maintained accessibility for the program and that we were able to support the most students possible. It would be completely impossible to get 125 students into a single cooking classroom and give them all hands-on experience. But through the virtual program, one of the really big learnings that we had was the empowerment that students had from having the experience of cooking something in their own kitchen. It's one thing to bring students to a perfect culinary classroom that has all the right equipment and all the tools right at hand, and everything laid out for them. It's a whole nother thing to empower them to make a meal in their own home, and to have their family see that they have the capacity to do that.
And then how will this grant funding, expand this Youth Black Excellence program that has already had such a great response?
Yeah, so the program has in part funding from a local food promotion program grant, and then this funding comes in and supports that with our being able to expand back out to 125 students. So the original funding over the first 2 years supported 75 students. We went out into the community and sought out individual donations as well as donations from local businesses and other orgs to help shore up the funding to make it as accessible as we could to as many people as possible. And now this funding really helps us continue to expand that mission. We're working this year to move all of our content onto a platform that will make the curriculum available beyond the Dane County and Madison School District community to, the wider regional state population and also nationally.
I was thinking of you as I was reading this Kids Forward report, and the kids in the report were responding to food in their schools. And the report said that kids are used to having snacks, not meals, at home because parents just don't have enough time to cook. So they're, kids are relying on ramen and pizza rolls and microwavable meals. What effect could a virtual class like this have on kids' nutrition?
Yeah, so we work really hard to build agency with our youth, to help them understand when they're relearning a recipe, they're not just learning one recipe with one set of ingredients, but they're learning maybe a template. If we teach them to stir fry, they can stir fry just about anything they have in the fridge. If we're teaching them how to make a smoothie or how to make a sheet pan dinner, we're teaching them really accessible, easy to replicate basic kitchen skills. And then we work hard to add kind of expansion materials to the book, to our course curriculum book, to help students think about how those recipes can be flexible and how they can navigate making them their own, no matter what ingredients they might have at hand.
Christy McKenzie with us, owner of Pasture and Plenty in Madison, as we talk about the Wisconsin Farm to School grant program. Call in along the way questions and share your comments at 800-642-1234. Julia in Madison is here. Julia, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm so happy to I know these programs. I think they're amazing, but I'm the barrier that I think I would appreciate any comment about is our open campuses draw the white kids to fast food restaurants for socialization during lunch hours. And these classes are not, only the minority kids are not going out for lunch. And so there's this tug of war for the kids. And I'm wondering if there might be programs in their own neighborhoods, unfortunately, which were still separated too much in Madison.
Julia, thank you for bringing this up. And Christy, what are your reflections here?
Julia, it's such a great question. So the program that we run is an after-school program. And what we really have learned through surveying the students who are participating is that we reach both the BIPOC student community and the white student community and families who are really interested in enriching their experience and relationship with local food. And what we hope is that by doing the type of education that we're doing about, you know, what healthy choices look like, about what a well-balanced menu looks like, that students then take that into the rest of their day and into their lunch times and hopefully are making good choices there. We know that Josh Perkins, the Madison School District Director of Food and Nutrition, is really thinking about how to revitalize the local school food program so that students are attracted into it, you know, rather than going out and looking for fast food options. And I think that a big part of that is educating the students so they know what a good, healthy food choice looks like.
And I think you've said before, you know, it is food that what brings us together. It's food that what we have in common, and conversations happen there. Why is diversity, equity, and inclusion important to farm-to-school programming?
Well, I think that it's important at a lot of different levels. I think that when we think about a healthy local food system, a healthy local food system reflects all of the eaters in the food system, making sure that there are culturally relevant and appropriate foods in the school nutrition program so that students, when they come to school, find things that represent them, that they're familiar with, that they're comfortable, and look forward to selecting off of a menu. I think it's also really important that we think about the diversity of producers, that we're supporting farmers, women-led farms and BIPOC-led farms, and encouraging a stronger and more diverse local grower population, because when we have that type of representation, we have, you know, better food, we have a stronger local economy, and students connect more as they see people who look like them in the food system.
Very quickly, as we're out of time here, what is your favorite thing to cook from this teaching curriculum cookbook for the Black Excellence Experience?
That's too hard a question. We have had so many incredible teachers, and each of them brings something that they're really passionate about. But I have to say, I learned how to make birria sheet pan tacos, and that has changed my Taco Tuesdays forever.
Christy, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Christy McKenzie owns Pasture and Plenty in Madison. Earlier, we met grant recipients in Sheboygan Falls, in Hayward, and from the statewide network Health Tide. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.